Welcome to this week's edition of Soundbites, and this is your host, Mark Steiner. Here we are in the richest state in the nation, and in the midst of all that wealth, 1 in 8 of our fellow citizens is food insecure. What does that mean? It means 1/8 of our neighbors do not always know where their next meal is coming from or how they will get it. So we visited 3 very different communities in our state, Cambridge, Baltimore, and Oakland, to hear the stories of those people who live with food scarcity. This project was done in collaboration with the Hopkins Center for a Livable Future. CLF, as they're known by their acronym, produced the Maryland Food Map, an interactive digital map that covers the entire food system of our state. You can locate where all the farms are, organic, CAFOs, or conventional farms, what kind of farms, where are people using SNAP benefits, where all the supermarkets and grocery stores are and where they're not, what kind of animals are being raised where, and what kinds of food are grown where in the state of Maryland. It allows you to create your own maps on how our food system functions and then begin to think and work on how we improve our food system. So we developed with them the idea of a story map focusing on food insecurity in Maryland. The stories you hear today will be found also on the Maryland Food Map. You go to the site, click on that place in the map, and our pictures and audios bring it to life. So this hour, we'll focus on food insecurity, visiting, as I said, 3 different communities, from the Eastern Shore to Baltimore City to the Allegheny Mountains. As we were preparing this program, the United States House of Representatives voted 217-210 to cut almost $40 billion from the SNAP program that cuts out food stamps for over 4 million Americans. In our own state delegation, 1st District Congressman Andy Harris was the only one to vote for those cuts. So today we engage not in a political discourse, but hear from those whose lives are affected by hunger in Cambridge, Baltimore, and Oakland, Maryland. Hear from those who work to provide food for those in need, and scholars and activists who are looking for answers to the question of food insecurity among our neighbors. Michael J. Wilson is the director of Maryland Hunger Solutions. Maryland Hunger Solutions is a project whose aim is to fight hunger and improve the nutrition, health, and well-being of children and families in Maryland. When we talk about hunger, and we know people, we talk about food deserts and scarcity and issues like that. But I don't think people conceive of living in one of the wealthiest states in the country.
And the wealthiest state.
The wealthiest state in the country.
Yes.
And one of the wealthiest nations on the planet Earth.
That's correct.
What do we mean by hunger? When we see hunger, we talk about bloated bellies. We talk about, you know, people's hair turned orange because they have no food.
Right.
That's our vision of hunger. What do you mean, hunger?
So, by hunger, what we mean is people have food security. So they wonder about their next meal or they're hungry and they really are hungry. So it's like it's not like some people who go to the refrigerator and open up the door and say, do I have a ham sandwich? Do I have some chicken? What do I eat? We're talking about people who are wondering about where their next meal is coming from. And they're really going from meal to meal. And this is hard to see and hard to describe because it is hidden. It's all around us. It's 1 in 8 families who face food insecurity over the last 5-year period. So it may be your neighbor who's out watering his lawn, but you don't know whether or not they are food insecure or not. And people don't brag about this. They don't talk about it. We get calls in our office every day. People who are directed to us to sign up for SNAP. It's the people who are going to the food banks who used to contribute to the food banks. It is folks in every part of our state, from the Eastern Shore to the Allegheny Mountains, from the South to Baltimore to Montgomery and Prince George's County. It is everywhere. It's in every county and every community, and it is real.
So what's underlying this? What does it mean? So when you're saying food insecure, you're talking about people who cannot afford to buy food, people who don't have access to food? What are we talking about?
So it's a combination of things. It's mostly people who can't afford food. They don't have access to food because they don't have money. It's not like there isn't a grocery store or a farmer's market or a corner store within 5 or 10 miles of them. They can potentially get there, but it's a question of when you get there, can you actually afford to get food? And that's why the SNAP program, also known as food stamps, has been so important. It's a small amount of money, but it's enough to have people be able to feed themselves when they can't otherwise afford to.
Can you give us a sense of how deep this is?
Well, I can give you a sense of how broad it is.
Okay, that's fine.
How's that? So
that's
if it's
fine.
In 8 households in the state of Maryland, it may not be me, it may not be you, but it's somebody in our community. So it's where you have heavy concentrations of poverty, places like Baltimore, Prince George's County, other places, and rural poverty as well, you're going to have more cases of that. But it's everywhere. And it's the lingering part of the Great Recession where people have lost jobs, whether they were in government or they were in manufacturing or they're in construction, or it's people who've lost hours. People who are working part-time when they really want to work full-time. And if you deal with the issues of housing and homelessness and people being able to pay, able to just pay their rent or pay their house note, you know, you have to do that. And then you get to the question of how much money do I have left for food, the things I have to have immediate needs for. And so that's the broad breadth of hunger, which is all over our state.
Here with Amanda Behrens at CLF, Center for the Livable Future, where we are partnering on this project on with our food map. And but we have should describe what this food map is. What is it?
Well, the Maryland Food System Map Project is a resource that we developed at the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future to explore the food system in Maryland from production to consumption. We have data on agriculture, processing, distribution, all the way to food consumption. And this project is meant to delve deeper into food insecurity and nutrition assistance programs for people who are having a hard time finding enough food to eat.
So we want people to go to the map for lots of reasons, but can you describe what people see? I mean, what is the map, how it's structured? I mean, why would people go there? What do they see when they get there?
Well, they will be able to go to areas that we know there are a higher percentage of the population is food insecure, and there are resources that have cropped up to meet the needs of those people. So you can go and find those actual sites where there are food pantries or urban farms that are working with the food pantries or other kind of mobile market type schemes, and then listen to the people who are using those services, see their pictures, and kind of attach to them a little bit more personally than just seeing statistics or a map by itself.
So you've created this map of the food system of Maryland. So what is it people are going to find? I mean, why would people want to come to the map? What's in there that they would kind of walk away with?
There's so many things you could find there, and I think that's part of why that we're looking at the center. We study the system of food, so not just one aspect or another. And we're trying to show people relationships and all of the different actors involved in getting food from farm to plate. And so you can learn, what parts of Maryland are really strong in producing fruits and vegetables, or we have a lot of poultry production on the Eastern Shore, and see where these kinds of different parts of the food system are concentrated or where they're lacking. And we really want people to understand where there are opportunities in the market for both food entrepreneurs and for farmers, or to address. And then we want to find obstacles or areas of concern that need to be addressed. So you can go there to understand where you should be focusing your energy if you're a policymaker or somebody coming up with a food project. Or as a farmer, maybe you could try to understand different markets you can explore, or why this farmer's market is totally saturated and maybe there's a need for a new farmer's market in this neighborhood that's near you, something like that.
So how's the map interactive? I mean, how would we interact with it?
Well, you can look at different layers of information together in however you want to look at them together. So you can put on food processing locations and then fruit and vegetable producers and see if there's any canning operations that are near those fruit and vegetable producers. In the same sense, you can also look at food stores and farmers markets are there areas where there are neither food outlet for residents to access fruits and vegetables. So it really allows you to explore things on your own, turn things on and off, or look at new patterns by putting different data sets together.
That was Amanda Behrens, project manager for the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Futures Food Mapping Project. To bring the CLF food maps to life, my producers Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery and former producer Bobby Marvin Holmes visited spots in Maryland that have the highest levels of food insecurity. The first stop was Cambridge on the Eastern Shore in Dorchester County. We visited the Church Street Pantry, a food pantry attached to the Christ Episcopal Church. Lifelong Cambridge resident Eddie Cephas took us through the food pantry line with him and then sat down for an interview.
I like greens. Very good. Thank you, ma'am.
Applesauce?
Yes, ma'am.
Alrighty.
Appreciate it.
How long have you been coming to the Church Street Pantry?
Well, I've been coming here for the last 4 years.
And how do you like the food here?
Well, it's very helpful because I'm dealing with poverty and the way the price of stuff going up, you know what I mean? It's a big help. So I really do appreciate it. And the service as well, and the attitudes are nice. But that's all I can say about them. They're great people.
Stuff do you get when you come here usually? Is there a certain item that you tend to get?
Well, you can get dry goods. You'll get frozen meats. You have household detergents you might get, body hygiene type stuff you could use. They have variations of things you can get. Mm-hmm. But it's very good. Mm-hmm. I'm pleased. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you go to the other food pantries around here?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. But they have this church, I have a Farm Aid. And it's due once a month, and each church, so it don't bump heads, if we go to here this time, then by the time another one do have one, it's time to go there, because it's very helpful. I mean, I get food stamp, but it's not much. $46 for four people in a household, it's hurtful, but we're making it, thanks to God. I could name at least four or five jobs where that it wasn't a demand for the product or the metal they had to use, and some went to, Puerto Rico or went to Florida. And it just took jobs from here, and other people would have to go to McDonald's, Burger King, but they hire just a few. And if you don't have your high school diploma for some, they can't find a job, and so it just leaves them with nothing. But other than that, Cambridge is suffering a lot, but the churches here are trying to be helpful to a lot of people. So that's a very good thing.
Here's Malcolm McKnight, who runs the Church Street Pantry.
So our clientele, the folks we service here, come in once a month. They can only come in every fourth week. And that's very standard throughout the state. There may be a few that can do it twice a week and so forth and so on. So we have a fair distribution arrangement here. We're really very pleased with what we do. And we're limited only in the number of people who come. Our high would be, we've reached almost 70 people coming in there, which kills us because we really have to move to do that. We probably average 37, and you can call them 37 families. They may be individuals, single people. But we check on them to find out, do they have a stove? No sense giving somebody a nice turkey or a chicken if they don't have an oven. And they're pretty candid. A lot of them operate off of a hot plate or a slow crock pot. A lady in here recently, I said, can you handle this chicken? She said, that'll fit in my crock pot. But that would be the only access they have. Even though if they're in a building, have bedrooms and that sort of thing, they may not have access to the kitchen that we have here. So that's kind of the clientele that we work with. We have certain standard, that is to say, over there you saw the mixture. We like to have a canned vegetable, a canned soup, fruit. Fruit is our most expensive item. And you can imagine, 12 cans of fruit, I can buy 50 pounds of meat for just 12 cans of fruit. And so we're torn a little bit. Do we just give them protein, which is very good? So how do we judge? Well, we have a storage room back here, and we try not to run out. That's almost, yeah, it's overly simplistic, but that's kind of how it's done. Because I order on a computer from my home, and I sit there and I look at this list, and what do our people eat? We have, I'd say 75-80% are minority, mostly I would say Afro-American, they have certain needs that they really eat, and they will pass up some other things. And so you do try to cater to what you're – I mean, no sense putting out something that they won't eat. I can't move fresh squash, for instance. squash just doesn't move here. And you would think, well, gee, who hasn't had squash before? But we'll have folks asking, what do I do with this? This is pretty, you know, it's yellow and so forth and so on. So what do we do with it? And so that's all. My crew's coming in now. They're very reliable, all these folks. So that helps dictate the type of food that we bring in. We are limited, however. You will notice today in our freezer, the Food Lion, one of the packages we get, and we get it only through Salisbury. We don't go here to our Food Lion store. They give it over there, and then it comes back to us. Wonderful steaks over here, some really beautiful cuts of meat. And, of course, while they're getting near the date that ends, the health department has always approved all of the things that we do here. And so we even take a dented can, which in general we don't get many of them. But in theory, you really aren't supposed to sell a dented can, but we give it away. So we're not selling it. And we've never had any feedback on bad food at all. So as far as accessibility goes, we have an unusual bus system here in town for literally pennies. It goes around everywhere. Little white buses carry about 12 people, and they make the rounds. So everybody has access, even those who don't have a lot of cash in their pocket can afford to take the little, I'll call it a jitney, but they're very nice bus. They run 7 days a week. And they run around the county. They go up to Hurlock. They go over to Easton. So if somebody wanted to shop there for a dollar, they can get a ride up to Easton. Costs a dollar to get back, but so it's hard for me to judge. I'm one of those people, as most are still, able to get around. And so we think it's accessible. And, you know, folks still walk and ride bikes. You'll see people... we have people coming in here. You may have seen a few bikes out there, and they'll hang the bags on us. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be the judgment on that because I don't have a problem reaching that. But having come from the other side, closer to Baltimore, and recognizing, because I had business at restaurants in town, there are areas where it's very difficult, especially to get a price, reasonable price. You know, mom and pop can't always give you that good price. Maybe they can on a soda, which is now being poo-pooed as not a major food group.
Deborah Stephas is another food pantry patron. We met in the line outside the Church Street pantry. We asked her if she visited any other food pantries in Cambridge.
Sometime, every now and then, I might go to DC. You know, basically, other than that, I don't bother them. You know. I only go if I really need it. I don't even come here every month. You know. Everybody needs something sometime. Mm-hmm. So, this is one of the days I need something. You know, and I'm very grateful to these people. They do a real good job, you know. Just got to have a little patience. And you might get a little toasty sitting out here. Yeah, but I'm a grateful person, I am, you know, and I appreciate everything they do for me. And my fellow man, you know, I'm sure they appreciate it too, you know.
Down here, what kind of stuff do you get when you do come to the pantry?
A couple of meats, chicken, hamburger. I might get lucky get pork chops. Might lucky get a ham. I get fruits, vegetables, and I get a lot of good stuff down here. You know, it's gonna make a meal, two or three meals if you know how it works. If you work it,
yeah. And you grew up in Cambridge?
Yes, I've been here 57 years in this lovely town of Cambridge. Can't complain because it could be worse.
And what do you do here in Cambridge?
What do I do? I don't work. I'm get disability. I'm disabled. Mm-hmm. I am, but I still do good. I make it with what they give me, you know. And I sacrifice a lot of things, but with God, it's all good. It's all good, baby. It's all good, yeah.
I asked Michael J. Wilson, director of Maryland Hunger Solutions, about food insecurity in Cambridge and the Eastern Shore in general.
So, of course, they also had, they were impacted by the Superstorm Sandy, which impacted New Jersey and New York. And so they were also impacted by the storm, and it's another rural area that doesn't get impacted quite as much in people's minds with hunger. But yet and still, there's a great deal of hunger that's unseen, that's not recognized. So being able to work with the local pantries down there as well as the assign people
for in the midst of a great agricultural community.
That's exactly right. But the Eastern Shore is a place where clearly there's a lot of agriculture. There's poultry. There's fishing. There's all kinds of agriculture out there. And yet and still, it's one of the counties that has a high percentage of people using SNAP benefits. And partly, once again, it's because of the economy. It's people who are there to do agricultural work, which doesn't pay very much. It's people who are working in other industries and not having enough hours or enough income. So, you know, this question about SNAP and about hunger is really a question about poverty, and the Eastern Shore has as much of it as anyone.
Across the bay in Baltimore, we visited another food pantry and produce drop at Amazing Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church. Amazing Grace is located in the heart of McKeldry Park, a neighborhood just east of Johns Hopkins Hospital. Reverend Carol Purley, Minister of Health and Healing at Amazing Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church, coordinates the food pantry and produce drop there.
I used to live in this community about 8 years ago for about 21 years. And I was able to move into a house outside of the community, but I still live in Baltimore City. Now, when I lived in the community, what is going on today did not exist that I was aware of, okay? I have been able to, since I work here, and I've been working here for 8 years, I've been seeing a decline in terms of housing, in terms of economics, in terms of health, and so forth with the individuals in this community. It didn't exist that way when I was living around here in 1981 or so. So I think having the food pantry here and the produce drop is an excellent way of helping people to meet their needs. And Maryland Food Bank has identified this community as a food desert, meaning that a lot of individuals are not able, due to their economics and other health conditions, to be able to afford fresh food. And the Maryland Food Bank is a way of helping people to look at alternative ways of being healthy by eating, you know, fresh fruit and having vegetables and so forth offered free to them. The people came out in droves today, as you can see the line. Yeah. It was a lot of people, and the food went very quickly, which we consider that success. People are always looking for ways to meet their needs food-wise. And when we introduced that, it was like a great thing for most people in the community. And what we do is when the food pantry is open on Mondays and Wednesdays, we have a flyer that we give out to the participants. And we also encourage them to spread the word in the neighborhood. And they do a good job doing that because, as you can see, we had this long line.
We spoke with Natasha Miller, a 29-year-old McKeldry Park resident and mother, about why she comes to Amazing Grace.
I come sometime, you know, food get loaded on them and get some fresh food, and it helps the kids. They get some fruit and some vegetables, and we go home and find a little different stuff to do with it. Sometimes we'll look up a recipe online for whatever we get here and make it, even if it's something they don't like they don't like cauliflower. So we'll find something online and find different ways to eat it. That's how I introduce them into foods, and then we can buy it next time we go to the market. I like my cheesesteak subs or my french fries, or go to the store and get a chicken box, but I also like to come home and have a nice home-cooked meal, and I know how to cook it and hook it up just as well. I want them to be healthy, and I watch my mother and them grow up not being healthy, and there's nothing wrong with eating food that we grew up on, but broaden your taste. Like, you might go somewhere and find that you might actually like a vegetable that you never knew about. Like, a lot of people haven't never tasted eggplant, but if you cook it a certain way, it's really good. So, I mean, just broaden your horizons about different stuff. The same way people say about not just sticking in one town. Like, you got to go out and see and taste new things because you never know it exists.
Audrey DeWitt is another community member and patron at the Amazing Grace Food Pantry in Baltimore.
They're eating oodles of noodles, cheese pizza, chicken boxes. They're eating all of the unhealthy things that create health problems and health issues in the long run. This program is very crucial and very important. It's a must for this particular time right here and this season of life. Because there's so many unemployed, so many fathers that's not working, so many mothers not working, so many young children having babies. It's important. It's very important. And if they was to take it away, we would really begin to see a traumatic decay within the community. We see some people picking food up out of the street. You know, people throw bread, chicken, parts of chicken, parts damn. We see all of that sometimes from people who don't have the funds to go get food. The program is crucial. It's much needed.
We have to take a very brief break, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll hear more voices from those who live with food insecurity in Maryland. Welcome back. Today on Soundbites, we are partnering with the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future to launch a segment called Hunger in the Richest State. We're asking the question, why does the richest state in the nation have so many food insecure people? And to hear the voices of those struggling with hunger and food insecurity across the state, from Cambridge on the Eastern Shore, to Baltimore City, to Oakland in Western Maryland, and hear about the work being done across the state to end hunger.
I'm Jennifer Kunze, and right now we're standing in what we call the Amazing Port Street Garden. It's a community garden that was founded about 15 years ago when two rows of abandoned homes were demolished and created into a community green space. So we've got open area for kids to play in, we've got a contemplative prayer garden, and we've got food production here. We work with elementary and middle school kids to grow all kinds of different foods, fruits and vegetables and seeds and herbs that people in our community can eat. We've got a whole section of tomatoes back there, all different kinds of greens, lettuce, kale, chard, broccoli, radishes, eggplants, sweet peppers, hot peppers, green beans, sunflower seeds, really anything you can think of. It is a challenge. We are quite a ways from any comprehensive grocery store. There's a couple of food options within walking distance to get fresh, healthy foods, but not very many. So here at Amazing Grace Church, we try and address that with our food pantry, through which we distribute food from the gardens, and our monthly produce drop, where we get fresh produce, vegetables, and fruits from the Maryland Food Bank and distribute them for free to community residents. We try and have volunteers who are knowledgeable to be able to talk about how you're able to use different foods like cabbages, for example, that people might not know how to cook.
Like and lavender. Tell me.
Lavender, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people like to just take it for the smell, like put it around your house and it helps the house smell fresh and clean. Okay. You can also use it in soups and a couple different options like that. And we're actually working on expanding into offering cooking classes where we'd be able to take produce from the garden and have people register for a class that shows them how to cook those things.
Natasha Miller.
I walk down Miami Street. I see people. I see people trying to survive. I see people that don't have the information or sometimes just the resources to get the stuff. It's not that they don't want it. They just don't have the resources to get it. And if they did, they would use it. This resources, like I always give resources out that I hear about. If I hear about it, I'm always passing it along so somebody else can use it. Because that's how it got to me.
Reverend Carol Purley.
I want to share this is that as I sit in my office and we have a revolving door where people come in distress and they're always talking about their home situation. And food happens to be one of them because either they are relocating from one side of the town to another or they've been evicted or they just lost their job. And so by us being available here, we can meet their needs as much as we can with what we have in terms of the food pantry. Or they have an option if they're aware of the produce drop that is going on once a month.
Food pantries and community gardens aren't the only ways people in Baltimore are combating food insecurity. Urban farms provide people with locally produced food that's often relatively low cost because of factors like the short distance it travels from farm to plate. Shelley White is the Community Outreach Coordinator for Real Food Farm, a project of CivicWorks. Real Food Farm is an urban farm in northeast Baltimore. They have a mobile farmer's market and take their produce to different spots around the city for distribution. We caught up with Shelley White at their mobile farmer's market stop at the Department of Social Services in East Baltimore.
The market itself, I guess this is the second full season for the market. The farm has been in existence since 2009. So the mobile market is kind of the most recent way that we've, you know, like the most recent tool that we have to getting the food out into the community. Most of our partners are, I would say, residential organizations. So, for instance, the Shelter Group has a couple of properties in the area, Ashland Commons being one. We have a strong relationship with them. So, you know, every week we just coordinate with them, send them a list of what we have available. They share it with their residents. Folks who are interested in buying from us will come out every week and purchase from us. Other groups are just offices in the area, folks that are interested in getting some local food. And then other groups, you know, it's just a collaboration with, for instance, we're here at the Department of Social Services. It's working with the administration here to get permission to park here, not only for the employees of the building, but also for those who are using the social services. We have some pretty neat deals that they can use with their food assistance benefits. So we are part of the Farm Alliance of Baltimore City, which fortunately this year got a great grant that allows us to match up to $10 of any food assistance dollars spent. So that means using the Independence Card, that means using the Farmers Market Nutrition Program coupons, or the WIC fruit and vegetable vouchers. So what folks do is if they have one of those coupons, a lot of them are either $5, $6, $10, they can double that coupon on our truck. And if they're using their Independence Card, we can double that as well. So if folks come looking to spend $5, they can actually get $10 worth of produce with just the $5 spent. We are situated in what some folks would designate as a food desert. And the idea with a food desert is that one part of it is not only the price of food, the availability of food, but also access to that food. And that can include the transportation component. So the mobile farmers market allows us to bring the food right to people who need it most. So we partner with folks in the community by bringing that food right to their door. They know that we're there every week. They come out and take advantage of the fresh local produce that we grow. The components to access to healthy food are varied. One can be the price, one can be the actual availability of the produce. Another big one is transportation, and that's the one where it hits the elderly folks the hardest, I think. A lot of homes or living facilities do a great job of getting transportation to grocery stores and that sort of thing, but I think the convenience of having fresh produce come right to your door, and those folks can just come straight down the stairs, make their purchase, take it right upstairs, that's huge. I know a lot of people have commented that it's great for the heavier things that they don't want to carry from, you know, from the store to the bus and back home, and that sort of thing has been a great assistance to them.
How do you think urban farms can help with food insecurity?
Well, right there, that access point, it's coming right from their, you know, backyards. And I know that other urban farms in the area have this, have the same sort of relationship with their community members. You know, folks like to know that it's coming from nearby, not only because it's nearby and maybe they can go and take a look at it, but also because they know their neighbors are working the land. So I think having, you know, easy access, and for us, like this mobile market, we don't go, like our mile radius is not that big. So to have it coming from a local source and being able to constantly, like if I need to go back and get something else to stock up, I can. I have that availability or that opportunity. Whereas if we were sourcing from some way else, like it's not going to happen. So I think that convenience factor, it's right there. It's easy for us to get the harvest that same day and take it out and have it sold, which is huge.
Michael J. Wilson of Maryland Hunger Solutions.
And Baltimore. Well, Baltimore sometimes unfairly gets, you know, tinged with this, oh, that's where everybody is, when it's not true. I mean, all of the SNAP beneficiaries don't come from Baltimore. They're in Prince George's County. They're in Montgomery County. They're in Carroll County. They're everywhere. But Baltimore has, you know, a great density of it because it's where most of the people live in the city of Baltimore. And so the challenges living in Baltimore are the cost of living here because of housing, the challenges that people have being able to take care of themselves. And so working in Baltimore, where we're headquartered, is something that we take very seriously. The challenges here are serious, and we want to help address them. So the one thing about SNAP is that it really is, for a lot of folks, a remedial program. So people who are just coming on SNAP right now because of the economy, because of the recession, by and large, half of them are off of SNAP in 8 to 10 months. And most people are off within 18 months. But to the extent that there are harder cases and people need it for longer periods of time, you know, that's really indicative not just of the economy recently, but how the economy is broken in some ways and really doesn't address people's real economic needs.
I was told when I was in the front that I should come and talk to somebody in purple.
Okay.
About application for food stamps.
Okay. Let me get you to somebody who can help you.
Okay.
Okay. Follow me.
Despite the high levels of food insecurity in Baltimore, there are a lot of services available to people in need in the city. That is not the case in Western Maryland, where the lack of social service infrastructure makes access to healthy fresh foods much more difficult. Matt Thompson, Managing Director of the Maryland Food Bank Western Branch, explains.
For us, this is good. We don't have a whole lot of contact or influence in Garrett County yet because there isn't much of a system out here. Like, some of the things we take for granted. Hunger is an issue across the country, across Maryland, but generally you assume that there's at least organizations and there's things in motion that maybe they just need more food or more help. Out here there isn't even, there's no infrastructure as far as food insecurity goes. Like CAC here in Garrett County is one of the very few agencies in the whole county. So for us, it's not just a problem getting food here, but it's like there's no other spokes off of this hub. Well, the Maryland Food Bank is obviously looking to end hunger in Maryland, and with that we realize that we can't just look at hunger solution as food in general. We want to also try to get nutritious food out. Again, cycles of poverty. Maybe your belly's full, but you don't have good nutrition. You're still going to suffer. Your health, your education, just your general quality of life will suffer. So today we brought all fresh produce, and the vast majority of it is Maryland grown. So we have a lot of farmers that we're working with across the state. On the Eastern Shore, we have some farmers in Western Maryland that we're working with where we'll take the product that they might not have another market for because it's the wrong size or it's the wrong shape. It's the green pepper has some red in it. So America has forced them to just discard that product because there's no value in it to them to run their business. So we work a lot with the prison systems, and we'll come behind their equipment and glean their fields for free and harvest, capture that free, fresh, great product to give away then in settings like this.
We caught up with Matt Thompson at the Garrett County Food Resource Day in Oakland, Maryland, not too far away from Deep Creek Lake at Maryland's western border. Here, a line formed down the street an hour before the event even started, with people waiting for information about services available to them, including SNAP and WIC, and a basket full of fresh produce courtesy of the Maryland Food Bank. Michael J. Wilson gave us an overview of the event, which Maryland Hunger Solutions helped coordinate.
This was an event that we partnered with Garrett County Community Action and AARP. This is a part of our work on outreach because of the storm, Superstorm Sandy. But we know there's a lot of hunger in rural places like Garrett County. And if you were here early, first thing this morning, we didn't start till 9:30, but we had easily 100 people lined up at 8:30. People are here because they need the services that we're providing. So we're glad to be able to help do this.
And what kind of services are you providing today at the event?
So inside, it's not just Maryland Hunger Solutions. It's the food and nutrition service. It's the Garrett County Schools. It's the Senior Center. It's everything we can do to provide services for people here in one location, while we also have the Maryland Food Banks helping out with food. So it's a one size everything right here. We have the food as the dessert, but all the other programs which provide more long term sustenance, not just feeding them for today, are inside. We want to make sure that everybody gets everything they need.
So for people who don't know a lot about rural poverty, I mean, how do you describe a place like Garrett County and some of the challenges it faces food wise?
Yeah, so it's not as visible as in a big city where people are more concentrated. People aren't all living in the city. They're living in the country. And so it's not as visible, but it's visible on times like this and days like this when we bring services together and we get long lines of people here to get food and to get services. It's evidence of the weak economy that's still staggering along. Even in rural places like this where there are a lot of farms, but there are people who are, you know, having challenges feeding themselves and their families. So you see a lot of older people out here. You see a lot of families with kids. The challenges are just as real here as they are in Baltimore and Montgomery County or Prince George's County.
Hi, I'm Sheila Ford, and I'm with the Area Agency on Aging, the food bank section, and we do the brown bag once a month. We have emergency food program, and we do TFAP. Today we're doing the food drop here in Oakland, and we have lots of people out today. Hope the rain holds off for us. And we provide to low-income people, people that are unemployed or is disabled, so then that way they can come out and get produce and things that they can get that they can't normally buy for themselves or can't raise anymore for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Is this a regular event? Does this happen?
This is the second food drop. I've been here for 2 years, so this is the second one we've done so far.
How many people do you think came out today?
Well, we were expecting 600, and I would say we are very close to that. Very close.
What kinds of foods are you giving out today?
We have fresh green beans, sweet potatoes, cauliflower, fresh tomatoes, squash, eggplant, corn on the cob, and potatoes. And it's all homegrown.
That was Sheila Ford of the Garrett County Community Action Council that also helped make the event happen. Tough economic times was a theme repeated over and over again by folks we talked to in Oakland.
My name is Rodney Durst, and I'm the manager of the Senior Center's operations in Garrett County. In Garrett County, unfortunately, we have the wealth and the poor. Down around the lake, tremendous wealth. You go down to the lake and you see this tremendous wealth. And I was with the Postal Service for years, and I was also on the Board of Education for years. When you get into Kitzmiller, you get into Crelin, you get into Friendsville, you get into not Kaiser's Ridge, but over Appleton area. Tremendous poverty, but around the lake, tremendous wealth. So the state looks at Garrett County as one of the wealthiest counties, but it's not. You know, we may be wealthy in resources, we may be wealthy in the lake, but we are not as a county. We're wealthy. When you look at our county, you see the free and reduced meals that our kids have. We're very poor on the outlying areas, and that's one thing they forget about, is all these outlying areas all surrounding the lake is extreme poverty. And then you go there and you see million-dollar homes, and then down here you see people take a ride and see some of the homes people living in.
Sheila Ford.
What are some of the challenges that people living here face?
People have a hard time with putting things together, growing things. They really count on this because if the weather's not the greatest, then they can't grow it themselves, and then they don't have the income to go out to the store to buy it, so then that's when they end up coming for the food pantries and things for that. But it makes a lot of people happy.
In her work, WIC coordinator Carol Bales has also noticed an increase in those who are food insecure in Garrett County.
Yeah,
We ask a food insecurity question in WIC, and I have noticed an uptake on food insecurity.
Why do you think that is? Do you have any theories?
I just think general economics. It's a little bit harder. In Western Maryland, a lot of people don't want to take assistance, mm-hmm. and they really could use it. So mm-hmm. we promote all sorts of food assistance because everybody needs to eat.
You talk rural poverty. It's obviously different than urban poverty. People aren't going to drive 20 minutes or 30 minutes for $10 worth of food. So then it's tough. We're not just trying to get more food here, because we know that that is an issue, mm-hmm. is the lack of access to food, because there isn't food, but then there's also lack of access because there's no points in the outlying communities. And this is Matt Thompson's opinion. It may not be documented somewhere statistically, but it might. I think the biggest issue in rural poverty is the physical access to help. You know, if you're in an urban center, you can probably walk somewhere pretty close and get help, mm-hmm. whether that's with education or with health insurance. There's somebody somewhere close to you mm-hmm. that will help you. When you're talking Western Maryland, you can't walk someplace, and fuel is $4 a gallon, so they can't make multiple trips. As you know, I'm sure, the working poor population is skyrocketing. The food insecurity among those that don't qualify for federal assistance is astronomical. Mm-hmm. Those folks are working one, sometimes two jobs. For them to go someplace 9 to 5, they can't do it. In my opinion, rural poverty, that's one of the biggest issues we see, is people just can't get to what they need. And then beyond that, and I don't know if it's significantly different than urban poverty, but the mindset is something that we often have to overcome. People don't want to ask for help. They always think there's somebody that needs it more than me, that deserves it more than me, I can get by. And some of these people that literally firsthand we've heard them say, oh, that's okay, I don't need it. You open their refrigerator and they've got a bottle of ketchup in there. That's it. You open their cabinets, they got a jar of cat food. Like, that's it. Yeah, there's somebody that needs it more than me. So to try to combat that mindset that says we're here to help you, you, not somebody else, we want to help you, that's just going to take time. I think that's a lifetime of trying to be independent, of hard work ethic, and then to not be able to provide for yourself is tough. You know, and senior population seems to be the peak of that. You know, they've done it their whole life independently, and now to be forced through circumstances or health or to be forced to either go without or ask for help, most of them are choosing to go without.
Once again, Michael J. Wilson of Maryland Hunger Solutions.
I often say about Oakland, which is in Garrett County, it's as far west as you can get without being in West Virginia, and it's like West Virginia. It is like West Virginia. It is culturally, ethnically like West Virginia, hills and mountains and people who worked in mining and construction and to a greater extent now work in recreation. People go to Deep Creek Lake for recreation.
And as prison guards in our correctional system,
that's
which
exactly
has all moved
right.
out there as well.
That's exactly right. But they had a horrible winter, and so they were able to get additional SNAP benefits through the disaster program. And so we were glad to be able to help the people, you know, sign up for SNAP and work with the local food bank also to deliver food. When I was there, I've only seen that many people at one time in Western Maryland, one other time, and that's when they had fireworks on the 4th of July, which is a big deal. But there were people lined up before we opened our program to do SNAP and to do the food bank in Western Maryland. You know, there were probably 100 people in line, which is a lot of people in Oakland, Maryland. So, you know, the question about hunger, even in an area that's very rural, where there are a lot of farms, has an impact in ways that is unseen.
I think also the rise in what, and how you account for and what this rise in hunger means in the United States. We talked in this program about 400 in 1980, 400 food kitchens in America.
Food banks.
Food banks in America. Right. Another 40,000.
That's exactly right.
40,000.
That's exactly right. The growth in the food bank movement is because there was a need and because there was a niche and because there are a lot of people who want to help, and they're looking for a way to help hungry people. And so what they'll do is they'll go through their cabinets and they'll pull out a half dozen canned goods and they'll give it to the food bank. And that's fine. People want to help, and I appreciate that. But that's not a solution to the problem. There are underlying problems here that deal with our economy, with the loss of manufacturing jobs, with the loss of jobs that pay a living wage. It has to do with the growth in economic inequality in our country, where there are some people who are doing very well and there are a lot of folks who are struggling to get by. And for those folks, you know, SNAP is a temporary benefit. The food bank is something that people often have to deal with. But these are all reflections of the changes in our economy.
And, of course, when we look at poverty and low wages, we used to look at poverty, well, we still do officially, in terms of food,
right,
and cost of food. We need to take into account housing costs.
That's exactly right.
And as vis-a-vis wages. And so we don't really have a real count on what poverty really means and how that factors into being food insecure.
Right. And the other part of the Great Recession clearly was the impact of housing, where people who were middle class all of a sudden found themselves underwater, paying lots more for their mortgages in ways that were completely unexpected. And so the challenges of housing are completely related to hunger here, absolutely. If you took $40 billion out of the food stamp program, there's no way you can do it without losing millions of people losing their benefits. And the numbers range from as low as 2 million around the country to as high as 6 million. And so for those folks who currently are now getting SNAP, it means that they won't get those benefits. And that means they'll have to figure out something else, whether it's going to the food bank for more, and food banks can't make up this big difference, whether they're depending on charity from family or from other agencies. But you can't make up $40 billion purely from charity and food banks. This is going to hurt a lot of people, and there will undoubtedly be more hunger and more malnutrition and more economic challenges for our country. In addition, the thing about SNAP is that it is a stimulative program. So when you take your SNAP benefits and you go to your local grocery store, the grocery store gets some of the – They make some money, and the people who work at the grocery store have jobs that are sort of more secure and have more hours. And the people who make the food products, this has a stimulative impact for everybody in the economy. It's not just the people who we're feeding. It's everybody who uses that SNAP benefit, and they spend that in the local community. They spend that in their local community.
That was Michael J. Wilson of Maryland Hunger Solutions. And I'd also like to thank all of our guests today: Sheila Ford, Amanda Behrens, Matt Thompson, Reverend Carol Purley, Natasha Miller, Rodney Durst, Audrey DeWitts, Shelley White, Malcolm McKnight, Deborah Cephas, Eddie Cephas, Carol Bales, and Michael J. Wilson. Today's episode was produced in partnership with the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future. The Mark Steiner Show and Soundbites on Delmarva is a production of the Center for Emerging Media and made possible in part by the Town Creek Foundation, our producers of Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. For WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.